Hey, yo, this is Manifest, aka M Diggity, aka God MC, straight from Accra, Ghana, and you are tuned to African Hip Hop Blog. No comparisons, no challenges, no competition, the best. Peace.
Now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get
African Hip Hop Blog Podcast.
How is the play guy boss African Hip Hop Blog handy?
Yes, y'all. Welcome back to the African Hip Hop Blog. It's your boy Phil Chad, and I'm beaming to you live from an undisclosed location in the motherland that is Africa. We've got an exciting episode for you guys this week. An interesting, in-depth, an engaging interview with none other than MDiggity.Manifest. For those of you that aren't aware, he just dropped his album Nowhere Cool today, so make sure you guys go out and cop that. I was lucky enough to get an advanced listen to the project, and then I hit up Manifest to have a pretty detailed conversation as to what went into the making of this album, his thoughts, his inspiration, his plans, his hopes, and his dreams. You know, we got really into the nitty-gritty, the crux of the matter, if you will. So straight after this, we're gonna cut straight into that interview, and then we're gonna play out with a song of Manifest choice. So first things first, guys, make sure you go ahead and cop Nowhere Cool. It's available on iTunes, it's available on Deezer, it's available on Tidal, Google Play, whatever it is you enjoy your African hip-hop on. Make sure you go out and support good music, because I love this album. I'm going to have an in-depth review on the blog. It should be going up sometime this weekend, so be sure to check out africanhhb.com for that. So without further ado, let's cut straight to the interview with Manifest.
African Hip Hop Blog.
It's your boy Phil from the African Hip Hop Blog, and I've got myself a special guest right now. One of the finest in Africa, a true lyricist, fashion icon, a visual envelope pusher, some might say, a master of the live performances, a diasporadical artist who came back home, you know, to sow his roots back in West Africa. None other than M Manifest, Charlie Alpha.
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good, man. How you been, man? It's been a while.
Man, it's been a while. I've been hiding, but for good reason.
Yeah, man. So give us an update, man. I think, geez, we're coming up on almost 2 years now since I last spoke to you. What have you been up to in those 2 years, man?
I've been recording my best album yet, Nowhere Cool. And it's not even promotional, it's just truth, man. I mean, I think everybody from people who've known me to people I've worked with know that this is clearly my best body of work. It's not even comparable. This is like a turning point for me. For one to have a turning point, you know, you need to just spend a lot of time really reconfiguring your vision, you know?
Definitely.
And so I think a lot of the time I spent in these last 2 to 3 years was to basically try and experiment, find a new vision, or find how to take the vision to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So while you were rediscovering yourself and trying to find how to move the vision forward, what was inspiring you?
I think it's inspiring, especially working with a lot of younger artists. Being a young artist myself, but working with younger ones who are just as committed to finding new sounds, new ways of combining our music with the music of the world. So I think it was very inspiring to see that they were just on that wavelength, and at a very young age. I mean, young people experiment about sometimes, you know. When you gain more experience in the world, you tend to allow that more. But I was inspired by a lot of the younger producers I work with, young Ghanaian producers. You know, it's kind of crazy that, you know, working with young Ghanaian producers who, who have not necessarily worked on full projects like that yet, but they just brought a certain quality and excellence to the project that was needed, you know, as if they were vets who had done like some classic albums already, you know?
Well, actually, you just touched on one of the questions that I had. So who executive produced this album? One?
I mean, executive produced in terms of helping to put it together is my manager. I come up with a creative vision, him and I sit down, and then he's the make it happen guy. It's like, you know, how are we going to make it happen? You say you want this to happen. What do we do? What do you think of this? He's my creative sounding board as well. He's basically, I have a manager who's partly a creative partner, just in a different way, you know? So he executive produced it. But in terms of the musical executive production, that's me.
Okay. Well, one thing I definitely noticed when listening to the project, every song on the album is either an African drum, conga drum. I don't know what you guys call it in the West, but here we call it a hosho. It's like a traditional rattle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely, like, even with songs like B.A.R., Cupid's Crooked Bow, where there's a lot of American influence in the beats, there's still that underlying current of the African beats and the African drum, the African sound.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a deliberate thing? Were you guys going to the producers and saying, yo, make sure that this has a beat? Or were you taking the beat and then tweaking it so that the album had that unifying element throughout?
I think when I was working on this project, the basis of the collaboration was I tried to explain to every producer what the creative vision was. Okay. And so while I was working with them, they tried to bring their creativity, but more into the creative vision of Nowhere Cool, which is like an experimental fusion thing. So I've always been on that tip, but I think I had more intentionality and much more experimentation with it now, where it's like, yeah, with a track like B.E.AR, it's, you know, it comes in very hard. You know, you have a high life horn sample, but then we break it down and bring some of these modern grooves, but do it in our own way at certain points. So there's no formula, just we know that we want to be able to delightfully mix and likely sounds, you know, sounds of here and sounds of there in ways in which people haven't heard. Familiar, you know, people are familiar with Afro trap, so when they hear palm wine and whiskey, they might feel the familiar vibes. But in every track, I think it came to the vision of the album, which is, you know, how to put together two worlds in a new way.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, basically every producer I spent hours with. Hours, days, lots of time. There's no producer on this album that did not spend a lot of time with me. They might hate me after this. Not really, but I mean, we spent a lot of studio hours, you know, paying attention to detail, being able to scrap an initial idea, restart another one, being able to go back to an older one and rejig it, you know.
So which producers were you working with?
I work with Drummer, who did about 6 joints on the album. He's a young Ghanaian producer. He's a beast. I work with Gmo on one track. I mean, I've been working with Gmo since my first album. I work with Kuvi, who's also another young Ghanaian producer. Young Fly, who's also produced for me before. J-So. Mm-hmm. J-So, who basically recorded and mixed the whole album. So I think of anybody else, he probably put, you know, like he basically recorded he was with me through the whole process.
Okay. So it's essentially a Skillions Music Manifest collabo.
No, this is a Sing It Diamond Music thing, but with a lot of creative inputs from J-So, you know.
All right. I know that's dope. I also see you got the young boy Wolasi on 2 of the joints, man. I really like what he's been doing since he broke onto the scene, man.
Man, I don't think they are ready for him yet, but they will be.
Ah, no, man. Actually, I was going through my inbox earlier. There's a new song he just did with One Love that I was checking out. Yeah, man, he's doing a lot of work, man.
Yeah, he's, you know, when I heard him, I just felt the energy, the creative energy, and that, I don't want to call it purity, but that sincerity, you know?
Yeah, okay.
In his voice, that he understood what his voice was, what he stands for, who he is as an artist, and you know, sometimes it takes a long time to reach there, and for a young artist to be there quite early is dope, and I think he has a lot to offer. I'm looking forward to it. We have more stuff to be doing, and we're definitely going to be hitting him on the head, and I'm looking forward to see how he flourishes.
Dope. Speaking of the kids, man, I actually just remembered 2 weeks ago I was speaking to Ayat, and he had dropped this video, and I was like, yo, is that Manifest in the video? And it was basically speaking out like how you reached out to him and you've been showing him love and you picked up with a video. So do you feel it's important for someone like you, who's clearly at this point we can call you a Ghanaian hip-hop vet, an African hip-hop vet, to reach out to these kids and show them love and teach them the ropes?
I mean, I think we live in the creative world where we all feed off each other. I mean, when I hear Ayat is from the same neighborhood I'm from.
Oh, really?
When Medina. So when I hear Ayat and he's bringing his energy and I meet him and he's a cool cat, I mean, I think any sort of encouragement and support, you know, is not something I even have to think about. It's almost organic because, you know, we shouldn't always look at numbers and where you are. I mean, that's, you know, fame and all those things don't matter to the creative mind. You know, it's about connecting. So for me, yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to encourage and to support, you know, when I get the time to.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, big up to Aya too, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great mentality, man. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of things they are...
It's because of business, you know.
Yeah.
People only want to support people they are eating off of. And I'm not mad at it, but everybody has their approach. My approach is different.
Yeah.
I put the creativity first, but at the same time, too, I mean, is also how it comes to me. A lot of times, maybe somebody I trust will, you know, in the case of Wallasi, a cousin of mine, I asked him what he's listening to, and he said Wallasi, and he started playing it to me, and I felt it. So, you know, it's also how it comes to you. You know, sometimes people at me every day on Twitter to hear their music, and it's very difficult to do that because I don't go to Twitter to necessarily find music, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's how it comes to you sometimes too, you know?
So you run your own Twitter account. You don't have an intern sending out those tweets.
Oh, man. I'll be tweeting.
Okay. One last thing. Before we get into this album, while I got you here, man, I've got to ask. So No Way Cool is about to drop. What's the official release date for No Way Cool, by the way?
September 8th, which is Thursday.
September 8th. Okay. So No Way Cool's about to drop. There's another Ghanaian rapper about to drop his project. I don't even think I need to mention names because you already know where this is going. And just a few weeks ago, there was something popping off with you and another Ghanaian rapper who dropped a very heated freestyle. He even had to apologize to a few clothing brands because of it. Obviously, it didn't get viral, which is what we appreciate. But what I loved about that is you had three respected, talented, incredible rappers going at each other, trying to prove, yo, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. You know what I mean? Which is what I feel we've been lacking somewhat. What is your take on that whole situation?
Well, I think it's when you have... I can only speak for myself. Myself, I think to be a creative... trying to go the direction I'm going, which is to try and push boundaries and shapeshift. I can't be doing music politics. I have to speak from my heart and I have to give my perspective. And if I feel something, I will respond or I'll say something, and there's nothing wrong with another person being entitled to another opinion. On the purely hip hop side, yeah, I mean, healthy competition is not a bad thing. We're not, you know, contribution is more important than competition. But if we have different points of view, philosophical differences, we can air it out. It's not a big deal, for me, at least.
So it never went beyond that.
I mean, I think, you know, when I dropped God of C and Kanta also dropped, I mean, like, the whole country and the social media was just mad, you know. I mean, politicians were being asked about hip hop songs.
You know. Yeah.
So it just shows you, I guess, the power of the music sometimes. Yeah. And also the fact that the fans to tend to take content seriously more than sometimes people appreciate. Yeah. It's music and content. Content is part of the music, is a part of the music. When I say content, people only think I mean lyrics, but I mean the construction of the music, everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, when the spotlight is being shone on content more and sort of quality, I'm cool with that conversation. You know, I don't think there's any personal things going on, as far as I know.
But I definitely know. I know that. I remember at the time I hit up Antoine Mensa and Quakes, and they were like, "Yo, we've never seen Ghana like this for hip hop. This is unheard of."
I mean, I was in Geneva, so for the most part.
Look at him, hey, humble brag.
No, not humble brag. It's just, you know, I just sort of, sometimes it's good to not over engage or indulge in this stuff. You have to focus on, I'm a musician, so I have to focus on making music, not on how people take it, you know. I do it for the people, but once you do it, it leaves your hands. The only way you can control the narrative is to make more music.
Well, I think one thing I can attest to, outside of a few vague shots, this album is beef free.
Oh man, there's no beef, man. Beef is serious business. That's Biggie told us, man. Beef is when your mom's ain't safe up in the sleep. I mean, I don't think that's the truth. Yeah.
Okay.
I think when you have differences, Charlie, it's just airing it out. And Charlie, even Michael Jackson and Prince and Du Bois and Gavi, I mean, across different fields and disciplines. Even, you know, there was a time that people were saying that, you know, the sun revolved around the earth, and somebody said no. You know, so even among scientists, I mean, it's normal that people in the same discipline will have different ideas of what needs to be held in greater regard.
Yeah, yeah, man. Right. So I've listened to this project twice. I've got a theory about the project. I just want to run it by you. Want to know what you think? Basically, what it sounds like to me is Nowhere Cool is like you trying to figure out where you sit. I'm not too sure if people are appreciating music, they aren't gravitating towards the sound. And then with songs like Bear, and especially Rich People, you're like, is this the type of music you want to make? Where Rich People to me just sounds like you're insulting a lot of the materialistic hip-hop, like it's the nonsense you guys want me to make. And then it goes full circle up until you go to Somewhere Cool, where you're like, you know what? I'd rather make my type of music. If not, then I'll see you guys later. I'm out.
But I think that's a theory. It's an interesting theory. I think I had a very clear conviction of what I was doing with this album. But the eclectic nature of it shows even the idea of Nowhere Cool. There isn't a one position in music, whether it's an invisible, which is got a lot of traditional rhythms in it, or whether it's now hear Cool, which is, you know, it sounds rather modern and a bit more futuristic. I mean, I'm comfortable in what the creative vision is, and I can maneuver, depending on what kind of song I'm making, I can maneuver and still make it feel like it belongs on the same album, you know? It doesn't feel like a compilation of songs to me, but it is quite eclectic, but it still has a similar motif. So it wasn't actually it's the opposite of being unsure. I was quite sure. Being sure is what made it easier to be able to string the album together, so that it is one idea, but the sounds can vary. And the idea is, you know, the basic idea is, look, I'm of different world. To be honest, I've lived here, I've lived outside of here. My taste buds are of different worlds. And as somebody that's musically inclined, I can be able to reconcile all those different tastes on the same album.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's definitely a lot of love songs on this album. Is that the headspace you're in right now, you know, trying to rebuild and in a relationship?
I think, and the subject of Nowhere Cool, it's love is a definitely one of the biggest motivations, because if you want to know that Nowhere Cool, you really look at your relationships, those that fail, those that thought would never fail, and they are the definition of Nowhere Cool, you know. So I think in reflections, it just came naturally, and it's not love songs as in "Hello, baby, I love you." It's more reflections on relationships and how they reflected my new realization or awakening that Nowhere Cool, you know. So you have to make the most, and so I didn't think about it. Those were the songs that kept coming out, and. You know, they're all still quite different. Cupid's Crooked Bow is more like a dysfunctional love song. Simple Love is more like having gone through a dysfunction and just craving for something simple and what is, I don't even want to call it ideal, but what everybody would want after going through dysfunctional relationships. Simple Love. And then Sugar shows transactional love. I mean, you know, so... these were all different parts of the thing, the puzzle that all needed to fit. You know, they weren't contrived in any way. They just came organically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lyric here that really caught my attention on "Damn You, Rafiki," and I think the last interview we had here, we actually discussed this. In you kind of snapped back at me when I mentioned that not most of your songs would get played in the club. But on the lyric, you say, "So what if most of my songs don't belong in the club? I'm talking upper echelon. I belong in that club."
Yeah, exactly. Hey, no shots up, Phil.
Ironically, like, this album has a lot of songs that could gravitate towards the club, because there's a lot of 808s, there's a lot of up-tempo beats, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in that regard, while you say you're not comfortable with the position you're in, What do you envision that position to be in the hip-hop?
I mean, it's even in the greater Ghanaian music space where I'm constantly comfortable pushing barriers, but still trying to let what I do exist within the mainstream space, you know, because I do not believe that good music or great music should be limited to two or three people, you know. And the world has shown, from Bob Marley to Amy Winehouse to a lot of other people, that you don't have to be making what everybody's making to be loved by the people or to capture the people's imagination. Actually, you have to do what the people love and what is different and what they consider original, and it goes further than anything. So I got more comfortable in that. And ironically, when I got more comfortable in that, it made me be able to make songs like "Palm Wine and Whiskey" and "Hand They Go," which reflects sometimes how I feel when I'm at home, sort of these vibes. You want to make sense and jam, you know. You want to make those songs that you can drink palm wine and whiskey to.
Okay.
You know, so it's ironically, that's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, hey, so if I go into a club and they're playing my songs, hey, that should be interesting.
Yeah, well, like I said, I definitely feel like so there's a couple of joints here that could get some club play. Just depends with the DJs, but Time No Day, man, that's a joint and a half, man. I'm loving this.
Thank you.
Even, like I said, BR, even to an extent, Invisible has an up-tempo feel. It's got a very deep subject matter, but there's a lot of stuff that could that has a life beyond just the album. Like, I feel they could do well as singles. It's sounding very, very promising.
Oh, thank you.
It's still too early for me to say this is your best album yet. But I think it's
thank you.
I don't want to be one of those hypebeasts like, yo, this Drake album is amazing.
Yeah, you have to let it marinate for a bit
to
conclude on that. I feel you.
But I think one thing that definitely caught my attention was the production, how you invited this from front to back. I think in terms of production, hands down, this is your best album yet.
Easily, yeah.
And I appreciate that. So, with regards to this release, what are your expectations?
I hope it's a tipping point, man. I hope it's a point in which some of these arguments or conversations you say, where do I fit in this thing? Where, you know, is he mainstream? Is he underground? Is he a rapidy rap dude? Is he, you know, those conversations will be null and void because it'll be like, yo, this guy's really, he's got a clear sense of his musical vision. He's a Ghanaian guy, African guy, still with a lot of worldly exposure and love for music from other places, and he knows how to bring that all into play and have a strong musical identity of his own. So I think for me that's that, and I intend to make everything I do with this album be, from the artwork to everything, be just crazy, you know, in terms of strong statements. This album is filled with strong statements of artistic statements to say, yo. Yeah, if you were to pick any song on the album, I won't be like, oh no, don't listen to this, listen to that. No, you know sometimes an artist, you know, maybe you pick an album and they'll be like, yeah, no, you should play this one. No, I would honestly be okay if somebody were to pick any song and say, yo, this is Manifest.
Okay. Well, that being said, you're going to have to pick a lead single. Which is going to be your lead single?
Which is going to be my what?
Your lead single of the album.
I don't even know these things, so you should ask my manager.
Wait, so you're dropping an album with no single, no video?
No, I mean, no, I'm dropping a video on Thursday. I'm dropping Cupid's Crooked Bow video. Oh. And it's not because we have some beautiful visuals for that. It's a dope video. But it's, you know, it's like, these days things have changed, man. The people are going to decide for you. You know, you're not going to force feed anybody. You drop an album, they start hearing a song or two. Before you realize, the people have decided this is what we want as our first single. And it's fine, you know. I mean, some of them, yeah, we are definitely going to, we have figured some of those plans out, but we are not foolish either, you know. You have to crowdsource those opinions, you know. You can't force feed the people. They decide. The people decide, yo, this is the one we want to be representing, or who they will. I mean, and so, yeah, what we will do is we'll put great visuals and other things on most of these and see how it goes. I mean, we've made decisions, you know. Part of it too is maybe I'm just not trying to forecast too much, so that a month from now you'll be like, yo, but you told me that's the and I'll be like, yeah, but you know, things change. But we are prepared. We've thought through a lot of different scenarios, and we're prepared, and we have a rollout plan, but you know, we're also able to adapt to what the people say. The people can choose, you know. That's how it's happening these days. And if I even had the chance, I'll just have dropped the whole album like bam, without even any rollout. But you know, I think we put so much work. We have single artwork for every single and all these things, so we wanted the people to be able to experience it. So you know, that's why we've been today. I released the cover art, and then we allowed Bear to be the instant download when people pre-order the album, you know. So yeah, it's moving and grooving. They are all working together. All the songs are working together. I think if I want to say focus tracks, I'll say definitely Hand to Go. Mm-hmm. I'll say definitely Palm Wine and Whiskey. Definitely Now Here Cool. And then Cupid's Crooked Bow, just because then it tends to represent some of the content that you spoke on earlier, sort of dealing with relationship and love, you know. So, yeah.
All right. I want to find out what's your meaning, story behind Ozymandias? Or the Men's Die?
Ozymandias, yeah. Ozymandias is sort of a famous poem by a British poet about, you know, but it kind of speaks to a king, you know, who built himself a statue, and years later, a traveler is going through the desert and then sees a decapitated head or part of the statue. So people, you know, sometimes we get overconfident, we have hubris as human beings and as leaders or whatever, and we think we can build monuments and make ourselves last forever. And how foolish of us, we're only man. And so Ozymandias, every man dies, you know, at some point. So it was inspired by that poem, and clearly being in Africa, we know, and being in the world, not just Africa.
That's exactly what I mean.
I'm not trying to sub Zimbabwe only, but you know, there's a lot of examples in every place of that phenomenon with Ozymandias, you know, and even So I thought it was an important thing to talk about, you know, even for artists, you know. Sometimes you think you can be at the top forever, you know. Nah, bruh. Who told you? Who made you? Who died and made you God?
Well, you know. Speaking with Zimbabwe, that man may not ever die. I said, speaking with Zimbabwe, that man might not ever die. So he might be the exception to the rule.
Hey, man. Are you trying to get me to talk about the Honorable Sir Robert? No. He's a comrade, man.
I wasn't even going that direction.
I don't speak of another man's death, but you were speaking about his immortality, so maybe that's possible. Yeah, let's wait. Then.
The Honorable will live on forever. That's the mentality.
We can only wait and see. You know, which of us lives forever. You know, I say in the song, you can't cement your legacy with cement blocks. You know, is that those? That's legacies are not built with physical things. You know, yes, but they are ideas. Like when you go to any city and then you see the architecture, etc., it's not just a physical thing. It's people with ideas, people that had a plan that left a legacy. It wasn't just let's just build, because that way a hurricane could come and destroy things. You know, legacy goes way beyond trying to edify ourselves with statues and other things.
Giving the fans some insight for the many fans, as you call them.
Yeah. the many fans, man, they've come out in their numbers in the last since I came out to hibernation. You know, they were worried for a while, man. Everybody's fans was screaming and whatever, and I hadn't given the many fans anything to cheer about, and I came through, and after God MC has been cutting.
But you've been dropping single. There was the See Me Shine. The video was dope.
Yeah. But you see, I was just kind of like, you know, throwing something and then ducking. You know, I was not doing a media run. I wasn't doing most of that stuff. So the Mighty fans were wondering, what's up? Is this guy trying to retire? You know, he needs to give us something. But they stood by me. That's the thing. They were just waiting. You know. So now they're trying. Many fans know they hear, as we say, they only listen to you. I'm out here giving them nowhere cool, so you know, a good time for my to be a Manny fan.
No doubt. I'm sure they're rejoicing in the streets right now.
Oh, amen.
Well, actually, I wanted to find out from you or from Fui, if you want us to play a song out after this interview, because that's the tradition on the podcast. We'll do an interview, we'll play out with a song.
Sure.
Which song would you suggest we play out this interview with on the podcast?
I'll give you two choices and you choose. Either Hand to Go or Palm Wine and Whiskey. Hand to Go, Hand to Come with Wolasi or Palm Wine and Whiskey.
Gotta give it out. Wolasi kills that hook. Wolasi's a problem, man. So definitely.
Yeah, I'm glad we can agree on that. We might not agree about me not being in the club. But you know, for sure, like, I mean, Wolasi's a problem. I'm gonna be seeing him in a couple of hours, actually.
Tell him he's got a fan here. Appreciate his work.
Definitely. When did you first hear of him?
Funny enough, Antoine Mensa. Last year I linked up with Antoine in Joburg and I was just asking him, like, so who should I check out? And he was check out Wolasi. So I basically got the EP, I was tweeting about it. His manager saw the tweets, he hit me up, he's like, yo dude, thanks for showing the love. Then they just basically sent me some stuff and we've been in touch since.
Nice one. Yeah. Big up to them. They're gonna be moving, man. Dig it.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. Manifest, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. We know you.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm about to go have a little soiree with some journalists, you know, play them, give them an early listening on the joint. So yeah, but you got the early listen.
I mean, of course. You know what I'm saying? Of course.
Naturally. And next time you're in the club and you hear Manifest bumping, you'll be like, God damn it.
You know, that's the thing. Like, when I DJ, which is very rare, but there's once in a while I DJ, I bump some of your stuff, fam. Like, the stuff you've done with EL. So, you know, like, I am trying to prove myself wrong here. I'm trying to prove myself wrong because I want the streets to be fed with a fully rounded and healthy diet. You know, you can't survive on KFC alone. You know what I mean? You gotta have the vegetables, you gotta have the high fiber meal, you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Anyway, Adele is selling more than anybody. I don't think she's in the club, so hey. I'd rather have the Adele problem than to have my song in the club and nobody's buying it. You know what I mean? Yeah, shout out to Adele, man. Hello. All right, though, my brother.
Thanks so much.
I got to move, so yeah. All right, cool. So take care.
African Hip Hop Blog.
Yes, that was my interview with Manifest. Guys, be sure to cop Nowhere Cool. I really love this project. The production on this is amazing. I'm actually going to give it a few more listens and then I'm going to drop an in-depth review on the website. So make sure you guys check it on africanhhb.com for my full write-up on the project. But the first few listens that I have given it, I've been blown away. The production is amazing. I think Manifest is starting to fine-tune who he is as an artist. His lyricism is picked up. The only thing that I feel that he needs to move forward with is his storytelling, like take us to new places. Another writer on the blog heard the album and he said the same thing. It feels that he's now spent his last few projects fine-tuning who he is as an artist, and now we'd like to see him push the envelope. So yes, but I love this project. I'm going to be playing it a lot over the next few months, so I hope you guys also get a copy of Nowhere Cool. And before we head out and play out with the song Hande Go Hande Kam featuring Wolasi, shout out to Wolasi though, man. Dude is killing it right now in that Ghanaian hip-hop sphere. He's occupying his own unique lane and he's doing it very, very well. So shout out to Wolasi. But yes guys, be sure to hit up africanhhb.com. the content will continue coming. We just dropped another installment in the How to Make a Music Video AHHB R&D series, so please be sure to check that out. We've got a lot of reviews, we've got a lot of events coming up and that we've covered already, So be sure to check that out. We just did the Jidenna concert. Was surprisingly impressive. We had a great time there. We've got a lot of photos. So be sure to check out AfricanHHB.com or hit us up on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AfricanHHB or just search the African Hip Hop Blog. We really are very easy to find. And without further ado, I think we can now end the show for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe. If you listen to us on iTunes, just subscribe. Leave a comment. It does a world of good for us in the SEO and the rankings. If you listen to us on SoundCloud, the same. Just like, repost, leave a comment. We really appreciate it. Be sure to hit us up on Twitter. That's at AfricanHHB or me at Phil Chard. Let us know what you think of the show. Any input, any suggestions. We do listen. We may not take it to heart, but we'll listen. We'll listen. So on that note, let's play out with Manifest. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. I'm out.
Ha! I used to play guy, boss, African Hip Hop Blog, and I'm losing my win. When two play that game and only one win, then it must be a sin. No woman to cry, I'll be willing to try. Your mind they are nah or nah. Lose myself so I can find you. What defines you? I won't label you or sign you. Exchange no be robbery, must I remind you? TikTok, see the way this man time you.
Hand the gold, hand the car, hand the chop money to make a chop for night. Time to go to the bar, man to grow,
hand the grow.
Yes, I know just take a make a go.
Hand the gold,
hand the car,
hand the car,
hand the
chop money to make a chop for night.
Time to go to the bar, man to grow. Yes, I know just take a make a go.
Hand the gold, go, 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 hand the gold.
Sister, damn, I miss ya. I'm going to November, I'll be back to get ya. Do I dare for you? Oh yeah, you betcha. It's all that. I used to play guy, boss, African Hip Hop Blog, handy.